feast here. Lord, thank you for the privilege again of having the Word of God. Help us as we learn, Lord, even the feasts, how amazing they are in reflecting your work then and now and in the future. And we pray that even though we don't understand everything, things just will continue to piece together for us. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen. We are in Leviticus 23, and Sean has taught these feasts as well as two other feasts that are not in Leviticus 23. He talked about the Feast of Purim. Does it say Purim or Purim, if you're Hebrew?
It'll probably be Purim, but Dr. Name was Purim, so...
Yeah. Maybe he was yielding to the Gentiles. But it means the Feast of Lots, and it's spoken of in the Book of Esther. And then we studied Hanukkah Tuesday night, which was really neat because I didn't really know anything about Hanukkah. So it was pretty cool. So, but the Hanukkah is an extra-biblical feast, but it's referred to in the New Testament. It's not assigned in the Bible, but it's referred to the Feast of
dedication.
Yeah, in the New Testament. After the Feast of Dedication in one of the Gospels. So, pretty cool. I didn't know that at all, so that's really it. So, and it's actually 8 days, something like it's a feast. It's a whole length, and it's one that's just party, really. So, but really good. Anyway, we're going to look at these just as a quick overview. And Sean, feel free to chime in, because I found it harder to summarize them than I thought it would. So anyway.
Even one a week, I felt like I was still trying to summarize them.
Yeah. No, that's why I got into it. It's like, man, Sean really had to work hard, because there's a lot here. So anyway, let's get going here. First off, I have what I call God's appointed feast. God appoints feast, rather. God appoints feast. It's unnumbered. So I don't know why I did that, but there's 2 points underneath there. It says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. And I thought it was interesting, and Sean, you probably said this, but there was so much, it was hard to drink all in, but I found it interesting. But the word for feast isn't really a word for feast per se. It's like an appointed time. So, and he brought that out in different things because a lot of times you're not eating, but it's still a feast. So it's kind of confusing. Well, oh, it's an appointed time, and so that's what this is. It's the appointed time, the first bullet there. For a meeting or a feast, there's like 5 different potential meanings, but when it means a feast, it's like a time for a feast or an appointed time there. And the reason I'm defining these is it uses these terms over and over the rest of the chapter, okay? The convocation is the other one, and I know Sean taught us the meaning of this too. I just summarized it as sacred assembly. Though it does confuse me a little bit because it looks like sometimes they don't assemble, even though it's a holy convocation. So maybe it's a convocation at your house then or something, I don't know. But you're gathering together with your family or whatever. It might not even be your extended family, but you're coming in from working or whatever and gathering in your own home, or it might be a whole group. And we'll see. There's 3 pilgrimages out of these that are required of all men had to return to Jerusalem 3 times a year. Okay, 3 of these feasts required pilgrimages. So, okay, the next thing here is the weekly Sabbath. And it talks about that first, and I thought that was a first. It was a good way to start out because the Sabbath is, in essence, a weekly feast. Okay? And again, separate feast from eating. but it's an appointed time when it's the seventh day of each week, right? And it would be Friday night to Saturday night, our time. It's sunset Friday night to sunset Saturday night. That's the evening and the morning of the day, right, for the Jewish. So they do it from Sunday. The length is 24 hours roughly, right, because your Sabbath will change a little bit because your length of days changes. Winter, your Sabbath is, I guess it's still sunset to sunset, so I guess it really wouldn't change, would it? It's still 24. Your light, though, is shorter, so I guess it would be. But 24 hours, sundown to sundown. And then why? To review our constant need of God that Sean talked about, the relationship, the ongoing relationship we have. It's a time of rest that we need as believers, or as human beings. Sabbath was made for what? Man. Something we need. God wants us to take time off from other things to rest and reflect on God. And it's not doing other things. It's stopping other things and reflecting on God, right?
And a point that was brought out in the teaching for Wednesday night, too, is that this word Sabbath is used with many of these other feasts.
Yeah. Right, so a Sabbath is a day of rest, okay? But this is a weekly day of rest, but other days, the feast, and we'll see some of them start with a Sabbath rest and end with a Sabbath rest, like if it's 7 days long or something. So the whole 7 days isn't a Sabbath rest, but they will work that in too. So the word Sabbath is the idea of you have to take the day off and not work, okay? All right, the next part here, I guess I'll start up here and hopefully I won't run out of time. But then there's the annual feasts. These happen every year. Okay, Luke. Leviticus 23 only has one short little snippet on this. It's, oh, by the way, verse 4 says these, I didn't even read the weekly Sabbath. Verse 3. It says, 6 days your work shall be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. And again, they didn't necessarily have to go somewhere. So the convocation to me means, you know, you gather in your home or something. You should do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Verse 4, these are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. Okay, so now, verse 5 says, on the 14th day of the first month. So we have, number one is the Feast of Passover. And it, you'll see these are tightly connected, the first three, as Sean taught us. They just squeeze them all together. But each one is significant. Okay, the Feast of Passover, when? It's the 14th day of the first month. Their first month. That's what Passover, when Passover was instituted, God said, this will now be your first month. Okay, it reset their entire schedule. The length, I call it one evening meal. It's a day, but it's culminates in a meal, okay, in their home. Why? To recall God's rescue from Egypt. I used deliverance and salvation, and I thought rescue is shorter and it fits in my notes better. But when we think of salvation, a lot of people think of spiritual salvation. Salvation in the Old Testament is usually an idea of physical deliverance. Okay, so rescue is probably a good word for that.
Yeah, but on that, you'd say 14th day, isn't it the 10th day?
No, you'll see it in a sec here. They pick out the lamb on the 10th day. But if you look in verse 5, on the 14th day of the first month. I'm not making it up.
No, I see.
No, I pulled back too when I saw it, but you're reading in Exodus. We're not there yet. So.
Oh, all right.
It does say the 10th, but that's not the Passover. Okay, and for Christ, this relates to salvation as that Christ being the Passover lamb, right? Christ was crucified on Passover, right? And that's what's interesting about, there's so many things that happen during the feasts. Now let me read Exodus 12, 1 through 14. I'm only reading, I don't know, I think there's five verses that I actually put here. But this month shall be your beginning of months, right? Passover's already been appointed. It's reviewed in Leviticus 23. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb. Okay, that's what happens on the 10th day. They're getting ready for it. According to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And then verse 4 says, and if your household's too small, you can share with other households. You can get together and sacrifice one lamb, okay? Verse 5 then says, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it, keep this lamb until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation shall kill it at twilight. So the Passover itself happens on the 14th. You choose the lamb on the 10th. Okay, but the Passover itself is the 14th of the month. And that's why Leviticus 23 says on the 14th of the month, that's Passover. It doesn't go into the details. Okay? So I was caught by the same thing. I'm just like, what? I caught an error in the Bible. Guess not. Right? Number two, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Okay? Let me read this. Verses 6, 7, and 8. On the 15th day of the month, of the same month, is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. So that's somewhat of a Sabbath. But you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord for 7 days. The seventh day shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. So it doesn't say Sabbath here because it sounds like you can't do customary work, but you can do certain religious related work. Okay? So the what is it that's the, notice here, this is the 14th day. This is the 15th day of the first month again, right? So it's the next day. The day after what? Passover, got it? Okay. How long does it last? It lasts 7 days. And I put including a pilgrimage. I didn't do that on all of them, but I take care of the pilgrimage at the very end. Why? To recall leaving Egypt in haste. And the word is haste. Remember, they had to just be ready to go. When they did the Passover, they were supposed to have their staff in their hand. Okay, so the bread didn't have time to rise and stuff like that. How does it picture Christ? He is the sinless bread of life. There's all kinds of things involved with this, but it's sinless is the word. He's the sinless bread of life. And the key idea here is it's without sin. Leaven pictures sin. Now, understand this, there's nothing wrong with leaven. It's a picture. Otherwise, we can't eat any bread with leaven. There are other feasts where they were told to use leavened bread. Okay? Feast of what, Sean? Remember? Pentecost, I think it was. So they were told to have 2 leavened loaves. Okay? So leaven is likened to sin, but leaven is not sin. Okay? Just distinguish between the two. One pictures sin, but it doesn't make leaven sinful. But this here, they had to have unleavened bread, okay? Feast of Unleavened Bread, for 7 days, and they made an offering by fire. It doesn't detail it here. I don't remember off the top of my head, but let's look at Exodus 12, 15 to 20. I didn't have space for that in here. You can see I really leverage my space on this thing to the hilt. But Exodus 12, verses 15 to 20. So this one had already been addressed also, right? 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation. On the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared for you. So again, it was like a Sabbath, but not a complete Sabbath, because you could prepare this to eat. Okay? Verse 17, you shall observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, for on this same day I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days no leaven shall be found in your houses, since whoever eats what is leavened, that same person shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a stranger or native of the land. You shall eat nothing leaven in all your dwellings. You shall eat unleavened bread. And again, just for those 7 days, right? It was to picture the removal of sin, right? So haste from Egypt, and ultimately it pictured the removal of sin that occurred on the cross. Okay. Sean, anything to add? Chime in if you...
It's something I thought that has really doesn't have as much to do with what we're talking about here, but goes with something in the sermon this morning, too, is it goes in verse 17. It says, on the same day I brought your armies on the land of Egypt. That word armies is Sabaoth, which is host. And we get the Lord host from that.
Right. Yeah, there's just a lot of people with them, but army is maybe there's a better word than army to use.
In the Hebrew, they're kind of interchangeable, so maybe Jesus thought, you know, army was the best word, or anything
more close. But that was interesting. Good. The thing is that when you look at him coming and you realize where he's going, it's a matter of battle, so you don't bring a host in, you bring an army in.
Unless you're the only one needing to fight.
Exactly. Yeah, but I'm just saying.
Then you're bringing observers.
Yeah. Oh,
okay, number three here. The Feast of First Sinless?
Sinless Bread of Life?
Yep.
Sorry.
Is that a personal testimony?
Far from.
Feast of First Fruits. Let me read verses 9 through 14. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest. So if you will, this is the beginning of the harvest. Okay? The priest shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf. On the day after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it, and you shall offer on that day, when you wave the sheaf, a male lamb of the first year, without blemish, as a burnt offering to the Lord. Its grain offering shall be 2/10 of an ephah of fine flour mixed with oil, an offering made by fire to the Lord for a sweet aroma, and its drink offering shall be of wine 1/4 of a hin. You shall eat neither bread nor parched grain nor fresh grain until the same day you have brought an offering to your God. So you can't eat of your harvest until you have brought this first fruit to the Lord. So it's very, very much pictures that, okay? Uh It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations in all your dwellings. Okay, so the Feast of First Fruits. Notice here, it happens. It doesn't give a date. What? They actually.
It's the day after the Sabbath. The Sabbath there is talking about the seventh day shall be the holy convocation from the unleavened bread. So it's the day after that.
So it's the day after the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
It's the day after the last day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that last holy convocation.
That's not what the chart says. These were 3 days in a row. Okay. Okay. I'll put 16th. It was a rose chart, but it wasn't his rose chart that I was looking at on this one. So anyway, it's either the 16th or it's the 22nd, 23rd, somewhere in there. So it's right after, but they're in a row. What the argument was for this was Jesus died in Passover and he rose the third day. So that was the argument there, that he rose, he got killed on Friday night and rose on Sunday.
What month are we talking about?
I was going to print off that chart. I got
it. It is Adar, which is March, April.
Yeah, March and April, somewhere in there. Leap month. My brother-in-law is born in.
Their months don't always line up exactly the same each year, which makes it sometimes under March or April.
So when is their Passover in April?
Yeah, their Passover is
March or April.
Yeah, it's around Easter, but it's not always, it's not always Good Friday. It's just in that realm.
I was going to print off that chart because I pulled it off of the PowerPoint. Mm-hmm. And I was going to hand out a half sheet, and I totally spaced it off. So,
and use an extra month every 4 years. Is that what you mean? That would be awesome.
It's not an extra month every 4 years.
Yeah, it's not like you get off work, Patricia. It's not like vacation, okay?
And what it is, it's, I think it's either 2 out of every 5 years or 3 out of every 5 and it puts the extra month in, but it's like 2 without, 3 with, 3 without, 2. I mean, it's a funny way that they do it, but.
The thing is, when you look at a Jewish calendar, it is basically the design of the day month. 30 day month. And when you figure out 30 days in each month into 12 months, you're going to have some time left over. So what they're doing is they're catching up with the lunar calendar or the
lunar calendar is 28 months, 28 days.
28 days. So that's what it's based on, because they're going by what they see the full moon. The whole setup, that's how they determine their days.
Yeah.
Because when you look at it, the evening and the morning was the first day. So that's, they're going from full moon to full moon. That's basically the concept that's going there.
Okay. Notice.
That's confusing, but that's the way it is.
Yeah, different than ours anyway. So length, it's one offering. So you bring the sheaf in, and then you have to offer a lamb for a burnt offering. Remember, a burnt offering was not because you have sinned, but because you are a sinner. Remember that? We've studied those. Why? It's to dedicate the first of the harvest. Remember, this is the beginning of the harvest. You couldn't eat anything of your harvest in any form until you offered this. Okay, and it wasn't a significant amount. Obviously, the lamb was more significant than the sheep, but it was the point that everything I have is God's, ultimately, right? And then what this does is it highlights the fact that Jesus is the firstborn, first fruits from the dead. It uses that terminology. We won't look because it's sake of time, but 1 Corinthians 15 talks about the fact that Christ is the first fruits from the dead. Okay? All right. Number four is the Feast of Weeks, or another name of it that we probably know more is Pentecost. Feast of Weeks or Pentecost. Pentecost means 50. Okay, it was, when was it? It was, I guess I'll put a dot here, 50 days after Passover. So that's why their Pentecost would always move too, right? It was definable once in any given year. You knew when Pentecost was, but you had to look at the calendar to know, because it's 50 days past the Passover. Let me read it. Verse 15, and you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath. Then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord. You shall bring from your dwellings 2 wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah, and they shall be of fine flour. They shall be baked with leaven. I want to underline that. That's different. They are the first fruits of the Lord, first fruits of the loaves, if you will, the results of the harvest rather than the beginning of the harvest. And they you shall offer with the bread 7 lambs of the first year without blemish, 1 young bull and 2 rams. So again, the loaves are the inconsequential part from a monetary economic standpoint, but still that was the point. They shall be as a burnt offering to the Lord with their grain offering and their drink offerings, an offering made by a fire for a sweet aroma to the Lord. Then you shall sacrifice 1 kid of the goats as a sin offering. That's saying that I have sinned. And 2 male lambs of the first year as a sacrifice of a peace offering. That's related to the fellowship of God. The priest shall weigh them with the bread of the first fruits as a wave offering before the Lord with the 2 lambs. They shall be holy to the Lord for the priest. And you shall proclaim on the same day that it is a holy convocation to you. You shall do no customary work. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout your generations. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field when you reap, nor shall you gather any gleaning from your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God. So that's how they provided for the poor too. And that was worked into Pentecost. Why? Because Pentecost dealt with several things. The length of it, I call it one evening meal, but it was a meal, and this is not in your notes, but there's an offering there, right? Why? Thank God for the completed harvest. The first fruits was the beginning of the harvest. The Pentecost was the end of the harvest. Okay? And it was huge. They offered 2 leavened loaves, 7 lambs, 1 young bull, 2 rams, grain and drink offerings to go with those, a kid of the goats as a sin offering, and 2 lambs as a peace offering. Now, what's the picture for Christ? He's the one that gives the giving of the Spirit by Jesus is what happened at Pentecost at the beginning of the church. Birth of the church. Okay. Next page here, top of the page. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 7th month and the 1st day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. You shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. Not a lot of detail. Okay, I think I can fit it up here. So number 5 is the Feast of what? Trumpets, right? Rosh Hashanah. He said it some other way. Rosh Hashanah or something. The Feast of Trumpets. When? It's the first day of the 7th month. So we've gone 6 months, right? First month, 7th month, roughly in my head. I know it's a different calendar. But okay. It's a day of rest, and there's blowing of trumpets. And as I remember Sean saying, there's something that they just don't say a lot about in the Bible. It kind of like, why are they blowing trumpets? You know? One thing I read suggested something, a reminder of coming judgment. This is when they would confess their sins and all this, if you recall, for like 10 days. Is that right, Sean? They were to afflict themselves and confess their sins and do, I think they did good deeds too. All right, so there's this coming judgment. They know that their works are being evaluated. And then for Christ, it's the return of Jesus in the air at the last trump. We call this the rapture, right? The last trump. Multiple trumpets. And there's also trumpets in the tribulation period, right? Seven trumpets. Okay, the next one here is the Day of Atonement. It looks like at one mint, only for spelling purposes. All right. Verse 26, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, also the 10th day of the 7th month shall be the Day of Atonement. So it's the 10th day of the 7th month. Notice this, so it's the first day of the 7th month, 10th day of the 7th month. It shall be a holy convocation for you, and you shall afflict your souls and offer, and this is interesting about a feast, though they don't call it, I guess, a feast per se. And you shall do no work on that same day, for it is the Day of Atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. For any person who is not afflicted in soul on that same day shall be cut off from the people. And any person who does any work on that same day, that person I will destroy from among his people. You shall do no manner of work. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations and all dwellings. It shall be to you a Sabbath of solemn rest. You shall afflict your souls on the 9th day of the month at evening. From evening to evening, you shall celebrate your Sabbath. So from evening on the 9th day to the evening on the 10th day. Okay? Afflicting your souls, Nadler said that it's most likely talking about fasting. And Leviticus talks directly about, I have Leviticus 16, talks more about fasting there, I think. We won't have time to look at it. Offering of fire and two goats. So you have the sin offering and the scapegoat. That's in Leviticus there. Why? To pay for sins of the people. I remember Sean talked about this. This is really the annual sin payment. All of the rest of them were like looking forward to this one. That kind of like, so this is the day that the high priest went into the Holy of Holies and actually offered blood for the sins of all the people. So it's like all the others were like IOUs leading up to the Day of Atonement. Okay. What about Christ? He offered himself once for all. I don't remember what else, Sean, on there. I couldn't find my last notes, but. Okay.
And I don't remember all the points about that, but
so maybe his second coming was
that
okay?
Yeah, and I think part of it was just that Jesus is the atonement for them, and this is for the nation of Israel.
Right. National salvation,
yes.
And that day all the nation. So once for all, and then maybe you can put in your margin the second coming for Israel, right? National atonement. The last one here, let me just fill it out because we're kind of running low on time here. Feast of Tabernacles or booths. When you think of tabernacle, you're talking about temporary dwellings. I'll just read it. The Lord said to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, the 15th day of the 7th month. So this is all the 7th month, right? 15th of the 7th. So these are very close in order again. One in the early part of the year, one in the middle part of the year. The 15th day of the 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days to the Lord. On the first day there shall be a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it. For 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. On the eighth day you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. It is a sacred assembly, and you shall do no customary work on it. These are the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim holy convocations, to offer an offering made by fire to the Lord, a burnt offering and a grain offering, a sacrifice and drink offerings, everything on its day. Besides the Sabbaths of the Lord, that's the weekly Sabbaths, besides your gifts, besides all your vows, and besides all your freewill offerings which you give to the Lord. These are all in addition to all the extra stuff you do. Also, on the 15th day of the seventh month, when you have gathered in the fruit of the land, you shall keep the feast of the Lord for 7 days. On the first day there shall be a Sabbath rest. On the eighth day, the day after this feast, there's a Sabbath rest. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Lord your God for 7 days. You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate in the seventh month. You shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. So what? It's 7 days plus an eighth day of an additional Sabbath day after. What? They build and live in booths for 7 days. It's a time of rejoicing, which you don't see in the other one. I have that in your notes. Why? To recall God's care for 40 years. Okay. I'm going to break some of these and watch. Recall God's care for 40 years in the wilderness, and then it's the second coming of Jesus to earth. Sean, do you remember anything else on that? Is it kind of picturing the millennium?
Yeah, there was several references in the Lamb about celebrating the temple of booths in reference to Christ's reign. And even with the palm branches, the idea that the king was coming and...
Sure. Okay. Yeah. So the Palm Sunday was more than just palms, I remember, too. That was interesting, too. Okay, here's two other passages that relate to the tabernacles. Okay, Nehemiah 8:14-17. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month, and that they should announce and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go out to the mountain and bring olive branches, branches of oil trees, myrtle branches, palm branches, and branches of leafy trees to make booths, as it is written. Then the people went out and brought them and made themselves booths, each one on the roof of his house, or in the courtyards of the courts of the house of God, and in the open square of the water gate, and the open square of the gate of Ephraim. So the whole assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and sat under the booths. For since the days of Joshua the son of Nun until that day, the children of Israel had not done so. So they didn't practice. Even though they had this, they did it through the time of Joshua. But after that, and there was very great gladness, which is the purpose of the booths, right? It's the time of rejoicing. Here's Zechariah 14:16-19. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations who came against Israel shall go up from year to year to worship the king. Now this seems to be during the millennial kingdom. The Lord of hosts to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the king, the Lord of hosts, on them there will be no rain. Imagine in the millennial kingdom, you don't show up, no harvest, right? That year. If the family of Egypt will not come up and enter in, they shall have no rain, and they shall receive the plague which the Lord strikes the nations who do not come up to the Feast of Tabernacles. So all the nations of the world will be celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles every year. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that do not come to keep the Feast of the Tabernacles. That's during the millennium. Again, Jesus has very strong, harsh punishments for those that reject his stuff here. Verse 44 says, so Moses declared the children of Israel the Feast of the Lord. That's the last verse of the chapter. I wanted to throw one more in here. And this shows you which three feasts all of the men of Israel were required to travel to Jerusalem for each year. Three times a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place he chooses at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is, by the way, right after Passover. So you have Passover, and you better be packed because you're traveling to Jerusalem if you don't live there. At the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Tabernacles. So Pentecost. That's why there were all these people in Jerusalem hearing them speak in tongues in their own languages, right? Because they're coming from all over the civilized world, Jews that speak in different languages, and they heard their tongues in their own language, right? So that was one of the times, the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost and the Feast of Tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. So it was like, it's a free will offering, and don't come empty-handed. So, all right. So it's interesting how it goes. Questions or comments?
So where was this in the last episode? In the place which you choose, where would they have to go?
Well, in Deuteronomy, that was before they even wandered in the wilderness. No, it was after they wandered in the wilderness. Numbers, they wandered in the wilderness. They haven't even got to the promised land yet. So Deuteronomy 16:16 is before they ever get there, before Jerusalem is ever conquered by David and all that. So we're talking quite a bit of time before then. So we have the time of Joshua, 15 to 25 years. Then we have the time of Judges, 435 years. And then we have the time of the kings, Saul, 40 years, and then David. David's the one that conquered Jerusalem. So we're talking like 600 years from now before Jerusalem is there and the temple's built, right? Solomon actually is the one that built the temple.
They had the tabernacle in Shiloh, and that's where the temple was established until the temple was finished.
Okay.
Because when they finished the temple, everything moved to Jerusalem.
Yep, they had no... That the temple was the permanent.
So did they still do that?
They observe certain things. What Sam Nadler was saying, and he grew up in New York. He's an American Jew that believes, he's a Messianic Jew, but they would do it in New York. And it's like around now, October, November-ish or something. And it's like cold, he said, but they will eat out there. Some of them will sleep out there and all that, even in New York. So yeah. Yeah, it's something
that. Fancy table stuff. I'm thinking that's probably not
original. Well, they hauled their table out, I think, is what they do. Yeah, but yeah, it's just kind of rickety. I mean, it's sturdy, but it is just cloth around it, like, you know, like a tent. Very good. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the study of the feast that Sean led us through for 8 weeks, and Lord, just a brief overview today. But I pray, Lord, that you would help us understand that these represent your key actions throughout history. Lord, Jesus died on Passover. He rose again in the Feast of First Fruits. Lord, you gave your Holy Spirit in the Feast of Pentecost. Lord, it's not unlikely that you might call us home on Rosh Hashanah or whatever. And Lord, we know we don't know the day or the time is coming, but Lord, we can see how you've acted in the past. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to enjoy the feast, the discussions of the feast, even if we don't observe them, and knowing that we'll be observing at least the Feast of the Tabernacles during the Millennial Kingdom. And we thank you for that. Thank you for all the truths that we somewhat grasp. And Lord, we just look forward to learning more from your word as we keep going on. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.